No.
Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy, do you want to get that thing? Want to pick it up?
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in the new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are guilty of many of the same sins that men are. Kim's introduction is, I'm going to tell you that she is one of the most beautiful women as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she has learned from men, and she's learned most of these while working as a stripper in a gentleman's club. And please feel free to call in with your questions. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. Tonight we're going to be talking about how we can bring more love into our lives. And that's with every person, encounter, or situation that comes our way. Each day we're offered opportunities to be a better person and to make this world a better place. For instance, last night we had a beautiful dinner that Kim made for us. Nicole and I were there and some friends. And the dinner was prepared with absolute love and care. And the whole evening became one of peace and joy. So I want to ask Kim, how is it that she feels about making these dinners and what she puts into it, and all the love that she brings?
Well, for me, if you're sitting at my dinner table in the first place, that means you're pretty special because not too many people do that. But for me, making people food, and it just gives me pleasure to do that. And if I can make somebody smile through my cooking, that makes me happy that they're happy.
And I'm sure that Nicole has had many a fine meal with Kim and knows the ambiance. There was music, there was wonderful talk, and it really was a moment of love and joy that we all needed. We all needed to relax. We're all working very hard. And if I'm not mistaken, Nicole, we have a caller.
We do. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
And we lost them.
Okay. So anyway, we're having Happy Passover Day today. We're wishing everyone out there Happy Passover. Tomorrow's Good Friday, and we'll have Easter. And this is a time where we're trying to make more peace in the world. And, you know, I was trying to think of some things that I try to do to make the world a more peaceful place. And basically, I try to do my job to the maximum effort. I don't do the law of minimum effort. When someone comes for a tarot reading, I certainly try my best to find out what they need, answer them, and help them. It's the same thing as a children's entertainer. I've always done my job with a feeling of joy and wanting the children to have a good time. You know, the world is going to teach children how to cry, and I've tried to teach them how to laugh. And it is about making your work a service. And, you know, I've never worried about the money. I will make my money. I'm not concerned about that. My most important thing is always to do a good job. And I know that Kim has an unusual job. She's there trying to make the world a better place in her own way. And you bring love to your job?
I do bring love to my job, and I've had many people that I've become close to over the years, aside from making them horny. I do bring some laughter, and I do bring some joy, and I try to make people forget about some of their pain. And they make me feel good in their own way, too. And my friend Patty that came in today, I love you too, and over the years you've been very kind to me, and you've been just truly an amazing person, and all the people that I work with really on a regular basis, the girls have been much more loving and caring. In the last 6 months, it's amazing. I've come so close to everybody, and everybody's saying, I love you, and everybody, I love you, I love you. And I kind of started that trend, so that makes me kind of happy. I'm not really afraid to say I love you anymore, or, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, bring a little happiness back to everybody. My purpose, to make people smile.
And that's an important gift that you have. And also, just when people are doing some work for us, if we're in a restaurant, I know I love to go out to a restaurant with Kim and Nicole because they are just so nice to the waitress that's there and or anybody who's serving us or anyone who comes even near the table. And it's really a pleasure to see them thank the waitress and know that, you know, the job's been well done. And so wherever you're going, to bring that kind of loving energy, if someone, you know, it's helping you in the food store, whatever it is, just saying thank you and being in gratitude. And we're, you know, every encounter can be loving. It doesn't have to be, you know, just because, you know, the intimate people in your world. I know when I was married, my in-laws were the kind of people that they were only, like, nice to the immediate family. Like, you didn't give any love to anybody outside of it. You didn't communicate to them. You didn't talk with them. And I found that to be very strange, and I think they thought I was some alien being because I was always trying to be friendly, you know, wherever I went. So I think it's something that if you can be nice to the, you know, the mailman that comes to your door, you know, just smile when you're getting the mail or just, you know, thanking every person. And that's what I love about these two women that are my co-hosts. They always are bringing that energy of love. And, Nicole, would you agree that you try to do that?
Yes, I would. It's not even a conscious thing anymore. It's just something that I just do. You know, I don't see an issue with, you know, paying somebody a little bit of extra special attention because I know that, you know, there are certain days that, you know, I need that little bit of attention or that, you know, I'm, like, feeling kind of down and I would love somebody to just say something that would just make the difference in my day. And sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. So I treat everybody like that might be one of those moments for them where they just need somebody to say something nice to them, and I'm there to say it.
Right, and when we cross over and go to God, you'll see the million little things that you did that changed the world for the better and for the worse.
Yeah, I have a couple of those, too.
I've been understanding, usually God shows you the good stuff before you get to see all your history of bad stuff. So.
Oh, really? The bad stuff comes later?
Yeah, because I think He doesn't want us to run back to Earth as a poltergeist and say, I'm going back to Earth, you know. I think so. We usually see the good things we've done and the kindnesses we've done. And I remember running into someone in a food store, and I hadn't seen her probably since kindergarten. So that's going back, like, you know, two millenniums already, and I don't know how she recognized me from kindergarten because I didn't recognize her, and she had been disabled and as a child, and she's still disabled, and she said to me, you were the nicest child to me when I came into kindergarten. Everybody looked at me and thought, oh, look, there's something wrong with her, and all she did was befriend me and be a friend to me, and I'll never forget that you did that, and I thought, boy, at 5 years old, I knew to be a friend to a little disabled girl who I just thought was the neatest thing. She was different, you know. To me, it was like, wow, she's different. Never occurred to me that it was bad or good. It was just different, and I would ask her about her disability. And no one ever would ask her because, you know, it was kind of like, why ask her? So, you know, again, she remembered something from, you know, almost 50 years ago. So I thought, if we can be kind, it will always be remembered. And when we're kind, we teach our children to be kind to each other. And, you know, Nicole was kind of telling us a funny story today about the kids and, you know, how Kim's children were having a little bit of a fight.
Yes,
and
yes.
It was kind of a funny story how Nicole handled the situation. And I don't know if you want to tell it or share it with us, but it was a moment which was educating.
Oh, okay. Well.
And first, before, let me preface the story that Kim and Nicole, you know, they're very good friends, and Kim's children are two of the most delightful children you will ever meet. They're well-mannered. They're beautiful. They have, you know, they're just the kindest, smartest kids. So this story is something that is typical of all brothers and sisters, no matter how kind and wonderful they are. Brothers and sisters can sometimes not fight fair, and this is something that Kim and Nicole are sure to always reinforce, that that's not acceptable behavior, and I thought it was pretty funny how Nicole handled the situation, so you might want to share it with us.
Okay, well, basically, the children were at each other's throats, as brothers and sisters can sometimes be,
And they are less than most brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that is true. And I guess his sister had said something that that he did not appreciate, and he told her to not say it anymore. And she said something under her breath, and he rolled up a newspaper and smacked her in the back of the head with it. So my response to this
was...
Which is
in his collective unconscious to be the master over women and smack them in the head. That stemmed right from the collective unconscious of a man.
Well, you know, he kind of just, you know, he hit her like you would a dog with a rolled up newspaper, which I really didn't appreciate. So I basically had said, you know, that he had some anger issues that he was obviously dealing with and that he needed to keep his hands to himself. And he immediately turned around and said that he was not going to talk to a shrink. You know, which I find funny coming out of an 11-year-old's mouth anyway. Oh, yeah, I just found that interesting coming from an 11-year-old's mouth anyway. He said, I don't have issues, I don't need a shrink. And then I said, well, I said, your mother has never laid a hand on you. I said, whenever you don't listen. And I said, I'm your godmother, and I've never laid a hand on you when you don't listen. So I said, so are you basically telling us that it's okay that we hit you next time you don't listen? And he didn't like that idea either.
With a rolled-up newspaper.
With a rolled-up newspaper, you know. And all in all, you know, by the end of my little discussion with him, you know, he gave his sister a very heartfelt apology. He apologized to me, and he promised me that he was going to try to be a better person.
And can you see how that was a moment of love? And instead of everybody going over the top, hysterical, you know, I know growing up, if you know, my father had seen my brother hit me in the head with a newspaper, my brother would have been beaten to death with that newspaper.
No.
And they would have been saying, and don't hit your sister. It's not supposed to hit your sister.
Exactly. But you're hitting me, you know. No, I would never do that to him. And you, honestly, he was not too thrilled with the fact that I did yell at him about it. But after he made his apologies and everything, me, you know, Jessica and I were sitting, you know, on the couch, and we were watching a movie together, and he came over to me, and he said, Nick, is it okay if I cuddle with you? And I said, yes, baby. And he came right over, and he cuddled with me, and it was like all was lost.
And they're so cuddly. They're very cute cuddly children. I don't know where they get it from.
No, I have to tell you that Kim is an extraordinary mother. She's caring. She's loving. She talks to her children. She knows kids are kids. She doesn't expect them to be perfect. No children are perfect. They have a lot of tension, kids. I mean, to be a child is to have giants scream at you all day long, pretty much, and irrational giants. They're in school. Sometimes teachers aren't fair. Sometimes, you know, coaches aren't fair. Other children aren't fair. So they have a lot of tension. He might have had a very hard day at school today, for all you know.
There was no school Sunday.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so I didn't even think that was an excuse. But,
no, he didn't want mommy to go to work this morning.
Oh, no, yeah. And no, and more importantly, he didn't want to go to grandma's.
Yes.
So, again, there was some tension, and children are sometimes shipped off to where they don't want to go to, and they don't have much say in it, so you can understand where the tension might come from. And it was just a moment of teaching proper behavior, and, you know, I know when we had the dinner party last night, you could not have seen two more well-behaved children who joined in the conversation and were very kind. And the moment that their mother told them, it's time for you to leave, we're going to have grown-up talk now, they knew to leave, because Kim is also very, very, it's very important to her that her children are not around when we're talking grown-up things. And I thought that made her to be just incredible mother. And her children reflect it. They reflect in all of their actions. And, you know, Kim was not raised in the most ideal circumstances, and so she learned this through her own behavior. And we were talking about when we had brothers and, you know, grew up with them and kind of beat the hell out of each other, whatever. We're not proud of those times. And how Kim, you know, when her brothers went off to college, wrote them an apology and gave them a little, you know, send-off goodie bag and thanked them. And it was a moment when brothers and sisters, we can really, even now, it's never too late. I mean, even if it's been going 30 years, you haven't said, I'm sorry for what I did to you when I was a child. It needs to be said. It needs to be said, because we hold those grudges. We remember that pain. And until we actually hear somebody say, you know, I'm sorry I hit you, or I'm sorry I did that to you, or, you know, I know my brother Gary, who is, you know, a wonderful brother, actually, of my three brothers, he was just a terrific person. But he did a couple of mean things to me, and when he had a daughter of his own, he called me up to apologize, saying, oh, God, if I could never imagine someone doing those things to my daughter. So just think about it. If you need to say you're sorry for something that even took place 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a minute ago, it's never too late to say the words. And, you know, every moment we can react with anger and just sort of keep that anger going, or we can say we've all had those moments and forgiveness.
And also, Cindy, on the opposite side of the I'm sorry, also do not underestimate and don't forget the power of the words thank you as well. Because, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, thanks, and they kind of blow it off as nothing. But I had another experience with Kim's son where, you know, he was, you know, in the middle of an event, you know, in the town and everything, and, you know, he was playing sports. And at the end of his game, I told him to go and thank the coach. And he's looking at me, and he's saying, well, why? I said, Richard, just say thank you, you know. So he got up, and he went over, and he said, hey, coach, he said, thanks. And all he did was knuckle punch this coach, and the look on this coach's face, how his face just brightened up at this one kid, the only kid on the entire team to say thank you after the game. The coach's face lit up, and the way that he reacted to Richard made Richard light up, and it was just like a really, really great moment where both of the people were just absolutely touched by those two little words.
You know, it's very important to teach my children to be extraordinary, not ordinary like everybody else, and show love and show kindness and show compassion and just be a cut above the rest, and that's what I teach them. You can be ordinary like everybody else, or you can be extraordinary and be something a cut above the rest. So.
And her children most definitely are. And what Nicole was talking about is saying thank you. You know, people, we're here on earth to work and to love and to serve. But when someone does do their work, to say thank you is, you know, the coach was doing his job, whatever. But saying thank you, even when you've done the job, feels really good. I know when, you know, I've done children's shows and, you know, you work hard and you do your best. And you really appreciate when somebody said, well, thank you. You made my child's party a really special event. Or they call me and say, you know, my daughter's still talking about her party and she can't wait till next year. Or they say, you know, my child was so shy and always been afraid of clowns, and here you came as a clown, and, you know, you were so kind and gentle. And the words that I would say at the end of that, always to a child who's been afraid of a clown who later on comes and hugs me, I said, I wish all grown-ups could not only overcome a fear in an hour, but embrace their fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking those moments to appreciate when someone's done their job. I mean, it just feels nice. You're getting paid, yeah, but if you've sort of gone that extra mile, you like to hear that someone says thank you. I know I like to hear it. And I'm,
absolutely.
You know, and those are
the things. I just did that last week. Last week I was rushing around before actually coming here, and something happened at the pizzeria, and I was a little bit abrupt with the guy that was behind the counter. You know, my order wasn't ready. I had called it in, and I got stuck there for 20 more minutes now while he was preparing my order. And I was very abrupt with him, and he charged me less, and I was still abrupt. And I felt so terrible about being abrupt to that guy that on my way here, I 411 the number of the pizzeria, and I asked for him. You know, I described him to the person that answered the phone, and I just said, hi, you know, I just came in. This was my order. And then he's like, he had no idea what to do because of the way I reacted in, you know, in the place. He's like, yeah. And I turned around and I said, listen, I said, I had a really long day. I had a very rough day, and I'm going to have a very long night. I said, I was a little abrupt with you, and I just wanted to apologize for giving you an attitude because, you know, mistakes happen, and I apologize for giving you an attitude, and I just wanted to say thank you very much for trying to fix the situation the way that you did, and I really appreciate it. And since last week, every time I see this kid, whether it's on the street, whether I'm walking into another store, he always comes over to me, hi, Nicole, how you doing? Hi, Nicole, you having a good day? And he's the sweetest person to me.
And again, it's just actually saying the words. I mean, as a children's entertainer, it's been a really stressful job doing that. You know, people are all nervous about the parties. They want to keep up with the Joneses. They want everything to look perfect. And, you know, sometimes their kids, you know, might not be having the most ideal day or whatever. And, you know, sometimes people have turned around and, like, really taken it out on me as an entertainer, and I'm doing the best I can. I got 30 kids to pay attention to, and if your birthday child's having a temper tantrum, that's not really my problem at the moment. And, you know, we always need people to understand we're always doing the best that we can, and, you know, not to take it out on the person who's doing their hardest to do their job, even if we're having a hard moment or a hard day. Now, Nicole, you say we have a caller?
Yes, hold on just a moment. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good evening. Hello,
Carrie. How are you?
Carrie has some news or something to share with us, correct?
Yes. I want to share that I'm working on my marriage, and actually I'm going to vacation next week.
Good.
Very
good.
Nice.
On a little bit of a honeymoon together?
Yes. My second honeymoon, yeah. It's going to be kind of like that.
That is very good news because it sounds to me like you've sort of put 2 feet in that marriage and you're trying to commit a little bit to that relationship. And scheduling an affair with each other is ways to make more love in this world, that's for sure. And is your husband excited about this?
Yeah, my husband, well, he was the one who started everything about the vacation, and I was not sure about it, but he said he needed a vacation and we need to get out of here because we haven't gone really away since we got married. So,
where are you going, Jerry?
Virgin Islands.
Oh, very nice, baby.
So,
could I come too?
Yeah, I know. We won't be any trouble.
Yeah. I put you in my suitcase.
Yeah, we'll
you can fit
suitcase.
Kim in the suitcase. You might have to ship me prior.
Thinking it. Maybe. Yeah, well.
And what have you been doing to work on your marriage to bring more love into your marriage? Since our topic is how you can bring more love into any relationship. What are you doing? You know you're going on the vacation. Have you been doing anything on a day-to-day basis? Are you watching your temper a little bit?
Yes, definitely, yeah. But you know what happened, Cindy? Back in my childhood, I never got love. Well, maybe I did have love for my father, but my father was the kind of person that he doesn't show love for at all. So
he doesn't demonstrate it, but you know he did love you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, not like my mom does, you know. But my dad never, I always had screams and faces, making faces for everything in my childhood. So I don't know how to show love for the person, you know, because I never had it in my life, you know. And
I think you're pretty loving, Carrie.
I'd have to agree there.
But maybe with you as a friend, it's different to love friends. We all know we have soulmate friends. We actually love our friends a hell of a lot better. We don't speak to our friends mean. You know, we cut some slack if they do something wrong. It's different when it's our lover. That's the problem. It's the lover gets all the flack. So, you know, if you could translate the way that you are with Kim and Nicole and your friends to your husband, I'm sure you will demonstrate love because you are a person that has a lot of love inside of you. So it's just seeing your husband as your friend, you know, and that works by speaking kindly and, you know, watching our temper and, you know, even a tiny demonstration of love, you know, maybe just spontaneously holding his hand or, you know, complimenting him or saying thank you. Those will go a long way, and when he responds in a loving way back and you don't feel rejected, the problem is sometimes we're afraid to be loving because we're going to get rejected. You know, if you've been continually rejected as a child, it's not so easy to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And I think there's not a woman sitting in this room here with me who doesn't have a similar childhood. So it really is learning some new tricks, and we're all capable of learning them. And I think Kim's learned her tricks with her children. She demonstrates love with them. You can learn it with your husband. And he seems like the kind of man who, if you just meet him even, you know, part of the way, he's going to meet you the rest.
Yeah, well, the thing is, even to make friends, it's hard for me because it's hard for me to trust in that new person is coming to be part of my life, you know. But I don't think so that it's because that's the way I am. Because like Kim said, I'm kind of like, thank you, Kim. Well, I'm kind of like, I'm a loving person. But even when you get to meet me. But in the beginning, I always put like a fence between both, you know. And I,
yes,
I'm kind of afraid.
Well, I don't
okay,
think
don't
in
get
some
into
ways
that.
Do that is terrible. I mean, in the beginning. But, you know, maybe you have to trust your instincts a little bit more. And, you know, you are married to this man. So, you know, that's a good starting place. You're married. I mean, the man is, you know, is in your house and in your home. And maybe you need to start trusting in him and he needs to be trusting in you. And, you know, since you've been trying to commit to the marriage, I imagine it's probably a little bit easier to start feeling those loving feelings.
You know what? It's true. every time we, well, our relationship is kind of like a roller coaster, and I believe every relationship is like that, but it's not like now it's going down to down, it's deeper. I'm trying to save my anger, and I'm trying to just to move on and say, listen, we cannot be fighting. It's just about to talk right now. It's about time, you know. And I'm the one that I make the first move. Now, lately, I can say, the month, I would say, when we get into disagreement, I'm the one that I said, listen, we got to talk. I was messed up. I make a mistake. And it's hard for me because I never show up to him like I really care about a relationship. But I do. I feel like I do love him.
And that's very important because you're learning to take responsibility for your part in the argument. You're not blaming him all the time, you know, and, you know, give up your need to be right sometimes. And you know, if you're going to forgive him sooner than later, you might as well stop with the grudge holding. So maybe you've already learned two very important things about how to fight fair with a person you love. And those are more ways to be more loving. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have arguments. But the fact that you're also apologizing for what you've done, you know, you're admitting if you've overreacted, those are very, very important growing steps for you. And it really is getting our pride out of the way. Sometimes, you know, we've got this sort of macho pride, you know, that we feel like, oh, I can't show that I've been wrong. So learning to say you're sorry and doing those things is very important. And it probably feels better for you. Do you feel you're getting closer because of it?
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing. I hate when we fight. And before, I didn't even care when we were fighting. You know, I said, oh, whatever. We fought. It's going to be for a whole week. We're not talking. I don't care. But now I just cannot be, not even 2 hours fighting because I have a headache and my days goes gone. And I cannot have this anger inside of me. And I need to talk to him and say, listen, we got to talk. You know?
And they see, that is so important because I'm stating, if you're going to forgive the person, you might as well do it sooner than later and then salvage the rest of the day or the evening and get on with it. I mean, it's amazing how you can really shut off anger if you want to. It's really just a choice to say, I've overreacted. I've had enough being angry, and let's just start the evening over and put the other foot forward, because anger just builds on itself. It just becomes like a cycle. You know, we get in patterns of behavior, and it's just breaking them. And I'm sure your husband notices the difference. Does he notice the difference? And
yes, he noticed the difference. And also he noticed it. He asked me, well, my mom's coming from my home country next month, and he asked me, why you bring your mom for summertime? Oh, you know, because I'm a party girl, and I don't want to go out when my mom is here. So I'm kind of like you say, I'm trying to commitment in this relationship because it's time, you know. I'm not talking about that I'm not going out at all, but I'm going to slow down because, you said, I have a husband and I have a family, so I got to do it. So I'm praying my mom for that, you know, so she's going to help me to keep
she's
going to
babysit.
Yeah. So,
well, you see, these are very important steps, and that's what we're talking about. How it's really a few simple learning some new tools that can really change your whole way of interacting and behaving. Just because you've always done a certain thing doesn't mean you always have to go on doing it. I mean, you know, that's the sad part. If you keep doing the same stupid things your whole life, you're going to end up being an old person that's just really pitiful because you haven't learned anything. You still got the same bad habits. You still got the grudge holding and the not forgiving and the not talking about issues. So, you know, sometimes the fighting is just really a way of releasing tension. I mean, it's just like with Kim's son today. He just had a tense moment, you know, and it didn't have to go on for the whole night or, you know, ruin it. But learning to just say you're sorry and take your part in the argument and, you know, stop having to be right all the time, those really bring more love into the relationship. And, you know, probably you're looking forward to this honeymoon, which you might not have looked forward to a couple of months back.
Oh, not even thinking about
it. I mean, because it's hard. If your marriage is in trouble, one of the worst things to be doing is being on a vacation with that person alone. You know, we've all probably had that experience. You know, it really is a deal breaker. You kind of finally realize, boy, my marriage is in trouble, or my relationship is in trouble. Like, you don't even want to spend a week with this person. I mean, I think it's happened to all of us. Am I right?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I used to dread the thought of, oh, my God, a week with my husband? Ay, ay, ay. And really what we should think about is this is a week to have a honeymoon. I mean, this is quite exciting. Time, you know, leisure time, rest time, you know, time to make love and communicate and relax and have a nice dinner together and communicate. So, you know, I'm really proud of the progress we see you making and in yourself.
Thank you, guys. No, that was all you. And, like, you tell me, like, a couple of shows ago, and you tell me just stop and just make a commitment of that. And, I mean, I'm taking everything. Like, Nicole, she said in the first show something that we have to stop blaming everybody else and just look into ourselves. You know, and like Kim is telling me every time experience about love and about my husband, and she knows my husband, so I'm kind of like, I gotta stop, you know. I'm kind of like, I gotta make a commitment. And I'm scared to be a married woman, but I am, and I'm a married woman.
I love that she admitted she's scared to be a married woman. Brava to this woman that she's saying what... Everyone, they're afraid to commit. The whole world is afraid to commit. We're a country and a world full of commitment phobics. And the word, you're scared. You're not alone. If you could understand, you've got millions and millions of people with the same fear. And if you could sort of lead the way, that's really wonderful. And the fact that you even acknowledge that you've been afraid, of course we're afraid to commit to somebody. Heart, soul, mind, and body. What if that person leaves us? What if they die? It's pretty scary territory. But what else is your choice? To never love deeply or to never heal? Because committing to the relationship, even if this relationship isn't going to last forever, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about commit to it today and see what happens today. Take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and miracles are happening. I could hear it in your voice. I could hear it, you know, in your relationship. And that's what we're trying to do here, one miracle at a time.
That's I'm proud of you.
We're
so
proud.
Am I, Carrie.
And we're proud of your husband who even listened to the show and even, you know, put his two cents to even make your marriage better. And, you know, you may find that you and your husband have a very good relationship, you know, if you're using it to communicate and, you know, talk to each other.
We're working on it. It's not easy, but not impossible. And I believe it's to manage and to control my anger is very, very great for me. I'm proud of myself right now that I just can take a deep breath and just I cry now if we're fighting. I never used to cry.
Well,
so
now
I cry.
Because now you're not just in touch with anger. Anger is a very easy emotion. Anger isn't telling us what you're really feeling. You were always hurt, but you weren't expressing that. You were hurt. You were just allowing yourself to express anger. Once we stop with just expressing anger, we start to see the real emotions. You're hurt. You're rejected. You're scared. You know, your feelings have been hurt. So I think you're much more in touch with something that you're really feeling. Most of the time when we're angry, that's not really what we are. We're hurt. We're mourning. We feel out of control. You know, there's a lot of other feelings. We're overwhelmed. We're tired. So the fact that you're able to feel something more than anger is amazing.
I just want to add one more thing. I'm sorry, Cindy.
Sure, go ahead.
I know you time in there. But I just want to add thank you very much for all this. And I'm honest, 2 months ago, I was just talking about lawyers. I was thinking about go talk to this lawyer. What is that this lawyer can do for this relationship. And look at this. Now I'm talking about going to my second honeymoon. So
you see, and this is what it's about, because a lot of times people, you know, I get emails from people attacking me because they think that I'm, you know, the Antichrist. I'm the person who is telling people, you know, they should leave their marriage. And no, I tell them first and foremost, if it's anything worth saving, then I'll give you tools to save it. If you've made a mistake in the beginning, I don't think I can save that marriage. But we can always end it correctly. But first, we're not even karmically free to ever walk away from a marriage if we haven't tried. If all we've done has been angry, then God's going to say to you, well, I haven't seen you put 2 feet in that marriage and commit to it, and I haven't seen you try to make this work. If you try with all your heart and it can't work, well, then you're free to move on. But I am never a person advocating, you know, just walk out of a marriage easy. I mean, no, you've got to heal it. And even if, you know, you only learn how to behave better with that person so that you know how to behave better with the next person, because you're going to learn these lessons somewhere. So you might as well stay put and learn them here in this marriage. Because if you were to leave this marriage and go right to a next relationship without healing your issues, you're just going to get into another angry relationship. Because we sort of just pick up where we left off. It may look like a different love affair for about 2 minutes, but it doesn't take long for the anger to show. So the fact that you're working on this, and I just think that's the best news. And here she brought that more love into the world, and that's what we're trying to do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carrie.
And enjoy your honeymoon and tell us how it went.
Have fun, baby.
We will miss you, Carrie.
I love you, Nicole. Have a good night.
I love you too, baby.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So there you go. We've made progress in one relationship, and that's all it is, a little step forward, and she's sounding like she's feeling better about herself. Now, you know, on a day-to-day basis, what can we do to bring more love into the world? Well, this is something that I love about Kim and Nicole. They're not big on gossiping, which I find to be amazing. you know, it's something that people love to gossip and judge. We're human beings. It's like our favorite activity to be judgmental and gossipy. But when we do that, we're just adding to the sorrow of the world. And, you know, sometimes if we can just stop that. And I'm sure in the workplace, see, I work privately pretty much by myself. And fortunately, I've been spared that kind of gossipy office stuff. I mean, I've been blessed. I've always worked for myself and never seen the same people day to day. But anybody who's ever worked in a day-to-day environment, an office or even in a strip club or, you know, any environment where you see people on a day-to-day basis, you know it's easy to gossip.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it becomes like this sort of second family where all the dysfunction takes place.
Not for me. I'm usually the gossip. I'm usually what they're talking about.
Oh, the
about.
Source of the gossip. Well, how does it feel to be the source of gossip? Never very good.
No,
you know, we've all been there, and it's ugly, and it's not pleasant, and, you know, we...
And it's often untrue.
Yeah, I sometimes wish that people, you know, the gossipy as a belly dancer, you know, people thought I must have the most exciting life. Yeah, it was very exciting, working 12 hours a day, sweating your buns off. You know, you know, the gossip that, you know, my neighbors used to think about my life never proved to be true, but after a while, it was like, good, let them think I'm having that kind of an exciting life. You know, but again, you're never really knowing what's going on behind people's closed doors or what their life is like. So gossiping is probably one of the most hurtful things you can do. So learning to be less gossipy is an important thing. Also being tolerant of other people. You know, oftentimes people have been very judgmental. I have one client who always judged people who had an affair. I mean, that was her big thing. And, you know, suddenly she's sort of finding herself drawn to a married man, and I'm saying, well, God's always going to give you the circumstance in which you judged. Maybe next time you will be a little less judgmental of somebody else's behavior. And so, you know, be careful of what you're judging because you're going to get that experience. And, you know, it's kind of be kind if your friend's doing something that you're maybe not that happy or pleased with, or you think it's really not the way to behave. Yeah, you could point it out, but try not to be judgmental because we've already, you know, we've all been there most of the times. We've all made those mistakes or will make them. So, again, that's an important thing that we can do. And, you know, most important thing is most of us are working a lot of hours nowadays, and it's stressful. You know, the economy is bad. And I find because people are worried about money, they tend to really overreact. You know, and, you know, they're yelling at the teller at the bank. Do you think the teller who's making, like, hardly any money is responsible for everything? Or the poor girl at the cash register in the food store, you're yelling at her? I mean, they're not the people making the money. They're not the people that you need to yell at. I mean, I had experience with Hyundai. You know, I bought a new car, and, of course, you know, they ripped me off all over the place, and they owe me $1,000. They've owed me since January. And every day, the check is coming in 2 more days. So finally, I couldn't take it anymore. So I called Hyundai in California, which is the main branch, and sort of got them, sticked them on the little local person. And, you know, he called me freaking out. You know, why'd you do that to me? And I said, because you've been so rude to me. Every time I ask you, where's my money? You're treating me like some stupid moron woman. You're telling me the check is in the mail for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
No, do I want your big boss to yell at you? Not particularly, but you're yelling at me. I've never once raised my voice to you, and you've been yelling at me as I've been saying to you, it's time for you to give me my money. And so, you know, please, you know, all of us have to do our job. I'm trying to be nice to the people who I deal with. I expect them to be nice to me. And, you know, sometimes don't tell people the check is in the mail when, you know, 3 months is a long time. I know it's called snail mail, but 3 months is a long time.
Well, you know, the three biggest lies, Cindy.
Yep, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, mm-hmm.
Check is in the mail.
And?
I love you.
Uh-huh, and?
Can I say the other?
Yeah, sure.
And I won't comment enough.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not appreciative of that, but.
And, yeah, again, you know, please don't tell people things that are not true. And, you know, I felt, you know, that he had the nerve to call me up and yell at me, which I thought was kind of ironic. But, you know, sometimes we just need to do what we have to do. And that's what, you know, by being nice and bringing more love into the world, I'm just saying I need sometimes to be a woman who speaks up because a lot of people don't speak up. And I know I have the ability to speak up when necessary, and I also have the ability to take you to small claims court, and I will because that's important.
You know, Sinead, I think it's important sometimes. Everybody has their bad days. We don't know what's going on with somebody on the other end of the line, or perhaps you're in the office and somebody just isn't a happy person, or you know, your brother or your sister or your neighbor or whatever. You know, sometimes the smallest, kindest gesture, something simple, just makes somebody else smile and maybe pay it forward. So I'm going to remind people to do something kind for somebody that you might not ordinarily do something kind for, or even just a small compliment, even if it kills you to do it. But you know what, in the long run, it might make somebody's day, and that's just what it's about, just spreading a small message of love. It doesn't have to be extravagant or, you know, outlandish or freakish, but just something so very small.
Right, and don't forget, this is a call-in show, so if any of you are listening out there, and I know you are, call 646-929-0958. You must press 1 to speak to us. And Kim was just talking about compliments, and it's a two-way street about compliments. Sometimes people don't know how to receive compliments. And we also need to be able to accept when someone gives us a compliment. Not if they say you look good, don't say, oh, no, I don't, and tell them all the things that are wrong with you. No, say, thank you. That was very nice of you to say. I mean, I'm not particularly one who accepts compliments that easily. And I learned to sort of turn it around a little bit. I'll say, well, thank you. You're very kind to say that. So it makes me thank them and then compliment them back because I'm very uncomfortable with really just being complimented. So, again, all of us working on accepting compliments and giving compliments. I mean, we can always look for the good in somebody, not just pointing out when they've done something wrong, especially with children. You know, grown-ups tend to really pick on kids a lot, and I've seen it as a children's entertainer. I'll walk into a party and somebody will say, oh, that boy over there is going to give you a really hard time, so, you know, just watch out for him. And what I'll think is, okay, now I know he's a person who needs attention, and I'll immediately say, I need help. Would you like to be my helper? And he becomes my helper, and he's my best helper throughout the whole show. And people say, I can't believe how much he behaved. Well, you've already told me he's the bad boy, so that's all he knows is how to be the bad boy. But I looked at him, and I decided, no, he's my good boy. He's my helper. And suddenly he became that. So if we can, you know, sort of break against, you know, the stereotypes or someone tells us something about a person, try working at bringing out the best in them and seeing the good in that person. Of course, you know, old souls like me tend to sometimes not see evil, so I could be dining with Hitler, and I'm sure I'm going to see the best in him. So I also have to learn to see the knife that might be yielded too. But, you know, try to see good things, to compliment people. We all like to hear that someone tells you you've done a good job. I mean, it feels nice, and our kids like to hear it as well. You know, they don't just like to hear all the things they've done wrong. I mean, I never got complimented growing up, never. I think that's why I'm so uncomfortable about it. As a matter of fact, everything I ever said was, you know, oh, you're so stupid. That's all I heard. You're stupid, or, you know, that's a stupid opinion. And so, you know, I never learned to trust my own thoughts. It took me a long time to grow into myself, to trust that what I was seeing was actually true, because all my life people were telling me, that's not what happened. You know, or, you know, when your parents are hitting you and they're saying, it's for your own good, it's because I love you, it kind of doesn't feel that way. You know, so, again, being parents and being, you know, kind parents is a very important thing to do. And, you know, it does take work. We're tired. There's times when we're tense and we don't feel like being a nice parent. We don't feel like being a nice anything. But those are the moments when I think we need to close the door and be alone. You know, and I've learned to do that. I don't know about any of you, but if I'm in a bad mood, nobody's ever going to know it, because I go by myself. And sometimes I just, like, go for a walk. I mean, I've been stressed out. We've all been stressed out. I've been working very hard. I almost couldn't listen to one more person today. And what I did was go for a walk and spend a half an hour alone and felt better about it. So we all know what we need to do. Sometimes we just need to be alone for a half an hour. And, you know, that brought more love to myself. You know, at that moment, I loved myself enough to say, I don't care. There's 10 people on the phone saying to me, I need you today. Pick up the phone. Can't you just read one more person? And I finally said, no. No. I don't have anything left to give. And when we have nothing left to give, we need to say, I need some time for myself. So it's learning to also bring more love to ourselves. And do you do that, Kim? Do you find that you're drained and you give yourself that extra?
Oh, by the time Saturday comes, sometimes I've given so much. Just, you know, I just need a moment's peace. And I'll tell my children, just give me a moment's peace, and you guys, you know, maybe go in your rooms and read or whatever, and Mom needs to have a moment to herself, whatever it is. It's usually only about 5 minutes. But, you know,
that's what I'm talking about. It's not a lot of time.
I don't really need a tremendous amount of time, but sometimes I just feel like I'm so drained, and my thoughts are just need to be kind of gathered, and I need to gain perspective.
And this is what we're talking about, giving ourselves love and space, because women tend to be pulled in 1,000 different directions, you know, and there's a point in which, you know, women sort of put their needs to the bottom of the list. You know, everybody comes first, and sometimes we just need to be able to say, no, I can't do that. You know, I'm tired, and not to feel guilty when we can't always be the givers. You know, by nature, I'm a giver. I know my two co-hosts, we're givers. We're always given. And sometimes, you know, we've got nothing left to give. I mean, that's it. You know, I'm tired. I'm spent. And it's very rare that I'll ever say that. And, you know, when I finally tell somebody, no, I can't do that, I love when they say, oh, okay, you're tired, then that's fine. Not, well, I really thought you could do this for me, and, you know, why aren't you doing this for me? You know, I never ask anything of you. Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah, my mother tends to do that.
Right, and meanwhile, you know, that's manipulating with guilt, and it's also, you know, I grew up with my father who yelled all the time, and my mother is dying, and it's very sad, and I had to speak to him yesterday, and you know, I just heard she's coming out of the hospital, and so I said, okay, she's coming out of the hospital, and my father said, no, she's not, and I said, I just spoke to the hospital, she's coming out of the hospital, and he started screaming at me as he did when I was a child, and my first response was I wanted to hang up on the man. I was like, oh, I don't need to be yelled at, and then I thought, well, my mother's dying, and he's tense, and this is how he's responding. And I just said, okay, could you please calm down and stop yelling? Because I really can't think what's going on. And pretty much what he had to say was, you know, your mother wants to die, and we want to take her home to here to die. And, well, pretty much the hospital has told us if we take her home, I will be charged with murder, and so will the doctor. So we can't do that. We can't take her home. And I thought, well, that's pretty sad. And why couldn't he cry? Why did he have to yell at me? For God's sake, his heart is breaking. Do you have to go back to your old method of behaving? Could you express something besides anger? Yeah, you're out of control. Yeah, you can't help her. That's a time to cry. And it's a time to realize maybe we need to do something in New York State. Maybe we need to be a Gevorkian state. There's other states that will allow people, when they say, I want to go, it's my time to die, that we have a right to die in dignity. We have a right to die while we still have a shred of dignity. You know, Jackie O was walking in Central Park the day before she died. We all know she had cancer. And she looked lovely, and she looked like herself, and she died the next day. I don't think she died naturally. I mean, I think that she made that choice, and I think she was able to make that choice. And all of us have a right to die with dignity. If we know our days are numbered and we make that choice. And so why couldn't my father respond in a different way? We all need to stop being angry. Now, Kim, I know you wanted to read something to us from your book, and could you tell us what the book is and the author? Because love to let us know what books we're reading, because books are our answer.
It's called You Are the Answer, Discovering and Fulfilling Your Soul's Purpose by Michael Tamara. It's a very interesting book I've been reading. Yes, I have nothing but time but to read. Anyway.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, I'm getting a lot of information. Now, it's making me feel better about my current situation. So. Okay, the thing that struck me as very pertinent throughout the book, it's a little excerpt about love. And it says, love gives us yet another opportunity to receive love. She whispers softly in our hearts, first as dreams and intuitions. If we ignore them, she speaks louder in our thoughts and emotions. Then she gets louder still by the aches and moans in our bodies. We may think that she is demanding, but love never demands, she gives. And she never stops giving of herself. Yet often we resist because we are afraid. When invalidated in life, we tend to harden ourselves against love. There is too much pain in our heart, too many disappointments, too many losses. It's too painful to dream when we cannot imagine any way of ever fulfilling our heart's dreams. And when love tugs at our scabs to heal the wounds that lie beneath them, that hurts well. So we close the door to our heart, and we listen to the incessant thumping of love-giving life. And no matter how much we turn against her, love never gives up on us.
And that's the truth. Love is patient. Love waits. And, you know, it's really reading books about love. I mean, you know, that's why I wrote my book. That's why there's beautiful books that we can read that, you know, when we're feeling overwhelmed by life, we need to pick up a spiritual book and even read a page or two and get that energy, because words have the energy to heal or to hurt. So if you're in a hurting place, pick up a loving book, a book that comforts you. Read a couple of passages from it and get yourself into that state again. And we all know that words have power. We knew that in kindergarten, even though they said sticks and stones won't break our bones. I think, you know, but words can never hurt us. No, words have hurt us more than any sticks and bones. You know, being beaten as a child or hit doesn't quite hurt as much as probably the words or the lack of words or the lack of validation that we're given as a child or someone just looking at you as a child and saying, you've had a hard day. Why isn't that anybody ever looks at a child and says, that kid had a hard day? Why is it that we're not realizing that children have hard lives? I mean, I would never want to be a child again. That was the hardest, hardest days of my life. I would never, ever want to walk through those days. And so, you know, Kim's children are blessed with a wonderful life, but it's not always the case. We do have a caller, and Nicole, please take the call.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, I want to share with you guys today a story based on forgiveness. Is that fine with you guys?
Sure.
All right.
Hello, share your story with us. Hello.
Hello, guys.
Hello, you're on. We can hear you. Are you on a cell phone? Because you're cutting out on the cell phone.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes,
you
can. And who are you, and what's your name?
My name is Zachariah.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Zachariah.
Okay, can you share with us what you wanted to tell us?
Well, I have a 7-year-old son who was playing his first T-ball game. Honey, how long ago was it, honey?
It was about a week ago.
About a week ago. And my wife, hell, listen to this one. My wife wanted me to be there, even though I was completely swamped at work. So listen to this now. I forgot about the game because I was swamped at work, and I got pooped on. I really did. I mean, she got so mad at me that I did not know what would be going on. So I had to talk to her. We had to talk it over. And we finally made up by making sweet love at night. But
again, you know, that's actually what happened to one of our friends yesterday. He missed his child's game and got in a lot of trouble from his wife. And again, as long as did you say you were sorry and you won't miss it again? Did you try to do that?
Okay.
Hello, I think we lost you. But anyway, that was the point that, you know, we even had that with our friend Phil. Remember, he missed the game and it wasn't intentional. And, you know, we need to forgive people if they are tired and that's why they haven't done something. You know, we all get tired, am I right? And sometimes we all don't do the things that we're supposed to be doing. So I think we've all been, as parents, missed things and not done it intentionally. It's really our intention. Is your intention to hurt somebody? It's different if you didn't go to the game because you wanted to hurt your son. That's a different kind of energy than you didn't show up just because, you know, you forgot about it. There's another call. Go ahead.
All right.
Hello, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Zachariah again.
Hi, Zachariah.
Hi. Well, what did you guys hear of it? Where did you lose connection at?
We heard that
where was I at
you didn't go to the T-ball game, but we know you didn't do it on purpose. And
yes,
you know, people have to be a little kinder when we make mistakes that are not our intention wasn't to hurt. We just made a mistake. And maybe next time you'll show up for the game because it's really important. And you sound like a very loving father.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, and that, did you say your apologies? And we like that you made up with sweet love. We like that.
We always love stories that end off in sweet love.
You know?
Oh,
that
you.
And what state are you calling from? What state are you calling from?
All right, I didn't hear you at first.
What state are you calling from?
Nebraska.
Nebraska. Wow, we made it all the way to Nebraska. I like that. Because we're in New York here, and we're just loving the way that Nebraska, they say they make up with sweet love. I think that we need to use that expression in New York. Because
I think I need to be doing that a little bit more.
You guys
got to
start doing that.
We are loving that.
And again, experience that, guys.
And then again, you just keep, you know, trying to do the best you can, and all of us have to be forgiving, because I think all parents are working very hard nowadays. In this economy, maybe we're all working just too hard. And unfortunately,
I'm feeling everyone now, baby, that times can't work somewhere.
I know.
It just ain't the best situation, you know what I mean?
Right, especially, I'm sure in Nebraska, the economy must not be good as well. So, you know, once again, we're going to say goodbye to you because we've only got a few minutes. But thank you so much for calling in. And we'll talk to you next week, or if you listen to our show, because we just love that we've made it to Nebraska, where the state is filled with.
And I love girls that I heard about your show. And I loved being on. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Zachary.
I can't wait.
Goodbye. Well, that was very nice that we made
it.
That
was extremely nice.
We're really happy to hear it's somebody that we don't know who's actually called in. And, you know, thank you, Zachariah. And I'm not sure what show we're going to be talking about next week. I'm going to run that by my girls. I'm not sure what topics they want to talk about. So, you know,
I think I could think of something.
Okay, so we're going to figure out what we're going to talk about next week, and we're going to wish everybody a happy Passover, happy Easter. Zachariah, thank you for calling in, and Carrie, have a wonderful honeymoon.
I wanted to tell Philly the Hammer, thank you so much for our trip into Manhattan. We had a great time. Nicole, you looked absolutely stunning in that glittery dress.
Oh, yes, she did.
You know how I love glitter. And I wanted to say a happy Easter to all my favorite jelly beans. I hope that the Easter Bunny is good, too. I love you all.
And I just want to say to some new people that have signed on tonight with me that told me that they were going to listen, thank you very much for listening over there in San Diego. I do appreciate it. San Diego.
Oh.
And I would also like to thank the fellas down at Plain Trade and Miller Place, who is getting ready for their grand opening in the next couple of weeks. And I look forward to seeing you guys there.
And
that's
Billy,
April 25th.
And Philly, thanks for sitting next to me at dinner.
Absolutely, Philly. You're the best.
Bye.